good. This is absolutely crazy that I'm preaching a sermon. It says Chris Devine, Never Changing God in the back, and I'm like up here, so this is like absurd. I don't even want to start thinking about the people that are here and saying thank you to them because I get emotional. My mom saw me crying. I don't know why I'm crying. I'm emotional this morning. It's one of those days, but it's really good to be here. Man, this is just absolutely absurd, but I'll go into it. So I'm going to talk to you guys about just a never-changing God. And through my experiences with this organization called Wingshape Camps, I got to serve 5 summers, not just serving domestically, but internationally, traveling the world, just using camp as a vessel and as a tool to preach the gospel. And it's taught me so much. And there's a lot of incredible truths and a lot of incredible themes. Each summer is a different theme. My first summer was about hope and how Jesus is our hope. My second summer is about giving your all. The third summer is about following the Lord. And last summer was about how the Lord is our shepherd. And this summer was a truth that just really impacted me in ways that I didn't really picture it to do. And it was about how God is our rock and how he's never changing. Yeah. And in the past 5 summers, I got to serve in many different roles within Wingshape Camps. So I got to serve as a team time leader working directly with the kids. I served as a recreational director for 2 summers. And then in my fourth summer, I got to serve as what's called the camp director. So I got to lead the charge with the team and get to travel and get to coordinate all logistics, literally everything. And then this past summer, I got to do that as well. I think I have 2 pictures up there. This is the black team, no pun intended, to the color of my skin with my email. My email was black director at wingshapecamps.org. No big deal. But that's the Black Team 2018. They are bright and colorful. I didn't want to use the more professional because this is more of a who we are. I'm Jay chilling in the middle, and you got the Black Team surrounding me. And there's one more picture, I think, of Black Team 2017. The same kind of vibe. This is a huge personality pick. We were about the Wakanda Forever vibes for sure. But these are the 2 groups that I got to personally lead around the country. I think I spoke with this about this a little bit. Got to serve with Wingshape Camps internationally in Costa Rica, presenting these same 2 truths. So we got to talk about the shepherd, got to talk about how God is never changing, both in U.S. and in Costa Rica. But I'm going to jump right into it. The theme verse of this summer was coming out of Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, a very familiar verse, very familiar passage. It says, "Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it as wise, like a person who builds his house on a solid rock. Though the rains come and torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it will not collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and does not obey it is a foolish person. Like a person who builds his house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." Very familiar verse. I can remember back in Sunday school, way, way back in the day, Debbie Harriet, who was my children's leader, used to teach me this song. It was when the rains, the wise man built his house on the rock, and about the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And this entire sermon, we talked about making a wise decision, making a foolish decision, building our house on the rock, building our house on the sand, and what that looks like. But we know it's just not about just building your house. It's about where you plant the seeds of your life, where you fix your feet. So 2 things that I want to talk about right now is just about what have we replaced our foundation of the Lord with? For me in my life, I can look at a lot of things and say, okay, I was fixed and I was ready to go and I was ready to fight and attack whatever was coming at me because I had my feet planted on a solid rock. But then I can also think about other points in my life where I was a little unbalanced and I was on the rock, but I wasn't fixed and I wasn't ready and I wasn't prepared. So I just want to go through a couple different verses. The first one comes out of Psalms. It'll be Psalms 18, verse 2. Bear with me, I got my Bible old school up here. And it says, in verse 2 of Psalms 18, it says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find my protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me. He is my place of safety." And I think when it comes to the truth that no matter what, God is never changing, it's important to remember who that rock is. He is our fortress. He is our savior, in whom I find protection. And it doesn't say in whom I find protection sometimes. It says in whom I find protection, and that's talked about all the time. These truths about God, about how God is never changing, is a truth that is secure and is firm forever. The next one comes out of Psalm 62, verse 7. It was just running. says, "My victory and my honor come from God alone. He's my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me." Isaiah 26, verse 4. I appreciate it. Thank you. Isaiah 26, verse 4 says, "Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is an eternal rock." It's really funny when I think about just this theme and this truth. This truth has been so evident since day one of my life. And I can think about singing on stage at Calvary Bible. Isaiah 26, 4 says, "Trust in the Lord forever." We had these cool glasses on, your cool shirt, and how the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And how that truth is so evident right now. And so I'm preaching on stage about how God is an everlasting and eternal rock. These truths about God are not just seasonal truths. They are for your life, and they are forever. They are eternal. So going back to the question, what have we replaced our foundation of the Lord with? I would love to be just transparent and personal and tell you just a more personal way that I replaced my foundation of the Lord. And that was in a relationship I was just previously in. I won't even go through her name because I'll probably get emotional, but it was just a situation that I had really put my faith and trust in her and not in the Lord. I was finding my identity in her. I was finding my security in her. I was finding my protection in her. I was finding my safety in her. I was finding all these things that God has already called me and told me about myself in this person.
Yeah.
And I remember very vividly that people are going to let you down.
Yeah.
It's an aspect of life. My mom told me that all the time. Christopher, people are going to let you down. And it just wasn't so evident to me until I went through this season of going and giving my all to somebody, going and giving them everything that I had, being firm in them and being secure in them, and then for them to put me in a situation where I felt like I couldn't give my all anymore. And then it took me to realize 3 months now down the road that I wasn't able to give my all in other areas of my life because I was giving so much to this thing that was temporary and that wasn't secure. I wasn't able to give my all to my family. I wasn't able to give my all to my sisters. I wasn't able to give my all to my job. I wasn't able to give my all to my church. I wasn't able to give my all to the Lord because I was so fixated on the temporary and something that was shifty like the sands. Personally, that was something that I replaced my foundation with the Lord with. But we know that no matter what, God is never changing. And when we fixate our feet on the rock, He will be there forever. Going into my second point, no matter what, God is always good. This is a really familiar truth for a lot of us. If you grew up in church, you know that when the preacher says, "God is good," you respond by saying,
All the time.
And the preacher says, "And all the time,
God is good.
And for me, that was something that I grew up hearing, and it was always a good thing to say, that God is good. Yeah, he's always good. He's all the time. And it was so, maybe, I don't even know the word for it, but it didn't have the same weight until you go through something and you're reminded how good God is. When you go without remembering that God is still good. When you go and you have less than, you're just remembering God is still good. So going into, I have a lot of verses, going into Psalms 106 this morning, verse 1, it says, jumping around, here we go. "Praise the Lord, give thanks to God, for He is good. His faithfulness and love endures forever." And then going into Psalms 34, verse 8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him." In these two passages, Psalms 106, verse 1, we see that God is good. He says, "For He is good." And in response to God being good, it tells us what exactly we should do. It says, because God is good, for He is good, we should praise and give thanks.
Right.
There's two things that we should do in response to that verse. It says, for God is good, so we should pray and give thanks. Not just pray and give thanks when it's easy to remember that He's good.
That's right, Chris.
Not just pray and give thanks when we're going through good circumstances, but despite any circumstances, to pray and give thanks. The second point, it says in Psalms 34, verse 8, it says, Lord is good. So the next thing we should do is taste and see. We should take refuge in Him. Taste and see is what we should do to remember that God is good. So when we're going through tough circumstances, take a refuge in the Lord. Because He is good, and His love endures forever. And our circumstances do not define God's goodness. Our circumstances do not define God's goodness. It says somewhere in the Bible that in this world you will have trouble, but that Jesus says, take heart because I have overcome the world. Take heart because the Lord is with you in every storm and can bring you calm and peace. I remember in the Bible it talks about the disciples being through a storm and Jesus was sleeping. So from that we can see that he was with them in the storm, but we also know that he calmed the storm. So in this world you will have trouble. In this world you will go through storms, but knowing that God is with you is cool. But also knowing that the Lord can calm the storm is even better. But even if he doesn't calm the storm, we know that he's with us and he can bring the things that we need in the storm to get us through it. So those look, I just give me chills thinking about how good God is, even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of shifting stands, even in the midst of us being secured, that he's still faithful and he is still good. This summer, our team went through a little bit of adversity. We had one of our teammates receive a concussion and it was just a really dramatic scene. We were having this guy's appreciation night and he got hit in the water with a water balloon from Walmart and it just didn't burst because it was from Walmart and it just hit him in the head. He went unconscious and people freaked out, people panicked, called 911. So you can just imagine the scene of a bunch of college students at nighttime. Somebody's passed out. It was crazy. And I just remember the one thing that I kept saying. I don't know why I kept saying it. I would go up to somebody, look in the face and say, Tatiana, God is still good. I don't know what's going on right now with Jalen laying on the ground, but I know that God is good and he is faithful. Hey, Michael, God is still good. We will be all right. And that was the thing that got me through that situation, is reminding myself, okay, I know I'd have no idea what's going on right now, but I can fixate and plant myself on how good God is, how faithful he is. No matter what's going to happen, I know that God is still good. And in the craziness, in the hecticness of that situation, I knew for sure that my God was going to be there to supply all of my needs. He was going to supply all of Jalen's needs. He was going to supply all of Tatiana's needs. He was going to be there for Michael. And even in the midst of uncertainty, I knew that God was still going to be good. The third point today is that no matter what, God is always love. At Camp Wednesday, if you didn't realize, we're going through 3 points. We're going through 4 points, and each of them represent a day of the week at Windshape Camps. And the third day is Wednesday. We call it Gospel Wednesday. And we communicate the truth every single year, no matter what the theme is, that is always about love. And we go into John 3:16, and it's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we go through 4 different images. The first image is, for God so loved, and it's a heart. And we just talk about how much God loves each of us. How much he loves our enemies, how much he loves our friends, how much he loves us. Despite anything that we could ever do in our life, the love of God for us is never going to change. Right. We communicate that every single Wednesday. The second thing we communicated is that the second part of John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave. We talked about how he gave Jesus Christ for us to die on a cross for our sins. And we communicate what sin is, and we talk about how sin separates us from God. But we have this God that loved us so much that he gave his one and only Son for us. And then in response to that, there's something we got to do. We got to believe in him. And to give them a picture example, we just remind them, hey, when you walked into church this morning, when you walked in to the sermon this morning, when you sat down in your chair, you weren't hesitant about sitting down at all. You just sat down because you believed and trusted in that chair to support you. You believed and you just sat down and trusted. You didn't, or hesitant, I don't know if this chair is going to support me. You just sat right down. And that's the same way we can trust and believe in our God. It can't be a wavering. It can't be half-hearted. It's a complete trust in that. No matter what, I know that you love me, Lord. No matter what, I know I can trust you, Lord. And you can sit down and trust and believe in that God because he loved you, because he gave Jesus for you, so you can trust him. And when you do that, you receive something. And that's why we call it Paradise Wednesday, because we are celebrating something on Wednesday. We're celebrating that when they believe, they receive this gift of eternal life. And when they accept Jesus into their heart, whether they pray in the service, whether they pray in their team time room, which is a small group room, whether they pray at home, whether they pray with somebody, whether they pray in the bathroom, campers are coming back from the bathroom and say, I just received the gift of eternal life. I said, praise God, you found me in the bathroom. Like, little kindergartners, high schoolers, it doesn't matter. They're receiving the gift of eternal God because they're believing in him. And it was so cool to see that happen. And we celebrated that. I wore a Florida Gators Hawaiian shirt, not because the Gators are good, because God is good. I love the Gators. The Gators are great. They want to know. Like, FSC's not want to know, and they can't say that, but the Florida Gators can say that they're undefeated right now. But God is so good, and He's always love. And in every situation, in every season, He is always love. These truths about God are always going to be true. And I loved Wednesday because it was a chance to just celebrate how good God is in your life, but also how good God is in my life. And we were reminded every time we got to share our, we call them 90-second stories, of just sharing where God has brought us from, but where we are now in our walk with Christ. And we got to impact so many campers, whether they accepted Jesus and they heard it, the message for the first time, or they have already accepted Jesus and got to hear the message for the 100th time. It was so cool to see that happen. So going on to the next thing, we're going into Psalms 86, verse 5. Let me get there. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You look good today." I always want to do that. Psalm 86, verse 5, it says, "O Lord, You are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all those who ask for Your help." A lot of kids we experienced this summer had come through really rough backgrounds. Really came through really rough home situations, really rough circumstances beyond their control. Some of them stuff that they could control, but it was always cool to let them know that, hey, no matter what you have done, there's a God that still loves you. And we're not asking you to change who you are. We're asking you to seek and follow a God that can change who you are and that can change your heart. And no matter what circumstances or experience that you're currently living in, God wants to bring you beyond that. And despite that, He wants to bring you up. So it's really cool to communicate that God is so easy to forgive. And it says, I'll say it one more time, "Oh Lord, You are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for Your help." Psalm 86, verse 15, jumping down, it says, But you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry, and full of and filled of unfailing love and faithfulness. One more story for you. Hopefully, maybe I have more. We had a situation this summer. Excuse me. Oh, I have no birds. We had a situation this summer. We have a speaker that we use in every aspect of camp that somehow, some way was left out one day after camp. And we came back the next morning, and the speaker was nowhere to be found. And it was crazy. It was like, what are we going to do? How are we going to do camp? We don't have the speaker. We went through a full day of not having the speaker, but the Lord provided another speaker that we could use. And then I get a text message from our host that week saying, "Hey, have you checked OfferUp? I think I may have found your speaker." Someone had stolen our speaker and had put it up on OfferUp for sale within that community that we're in. It's a very neat speaker, so there was no denying that it was ours. So I made a police report. The police came out and investigated. And then we had this neighbor, kind of shifting the story, we had this neighbor to the church that was calling, complaining all week about how loud the music was, how annoying that we were being, how he didn't want any kids on the property right next to him. They were disrupting his work. He called the police on us for using a different speaker that was also too loud. The police came out. I got to talk to them. "Hey, we're missing this speaker, by the way. Can you look into it?" We got the speaker back because of the fact that this man had intended to call the police on us for harm, but it was also working out for our good. So I don't know why I looped that in there, but no matter what, God is always love, and no matter what, He's always working for your good. No matter what situation you may come across, God is still working for your good. He still loves you. That's Paradise Wednesday. Going into my fourth point, kind of wrapping things up, no matter what, God is always personal. This truth of me was a really impactful truth because it's crystal clear today. No matter what, God is always personal. He's not some God on a pedestal that you have to climb up to get to. He's a God that's with you all the time. Yeah. He's a God that is so ever present. He lives within each of us. He's an advocate for each of us, and He's living inside of our hearts. Psalms 139, verse 1 through 10. I'm going to read it all because it's so good. It says, O Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know where I sit down. You know where I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. If that doesn't tell you how personal our God is from King David himself, a man after God's own heart, telling us how personal he was to David, he's just as personal to you. God knows the depths of our heart and every detail about us, just as our best friend would, just as your mom or dad would, just as your husband or wife would. God knows you better than you know yourself. He is so personal to you. This week at work, there was a guy who's going through a really tough and rough situation. He's like, Chris, you go to church, right? I said, yes, sir. He said, when you go to church on Sunday, can you pray for me? And it just struck me how we don't understand, or how other people don't understand, how personal our God is to us. I don't have to go to church on Sunday just to talk to my God. I can talk to him right now. I said, Alex, I can pray for you right now. He's like, what? We're not at church. We're at Chick-fil-A, so I can pray for you right now. I can do it. We can pray right now. On the breading table, in the middle of a restroom in somewhere in California, or in the middle of Chick-fil-A Largo, I can pray for you right now. He's so personal. He lives inside of each of us. We just have to realize that sometimes I don't have to go through loops and jumps to get to my God. He's right here. He's so personal to me. Isaiah 41, verse 13. It says, for I hold you by your right hand. I say, the Lord your God. And I say to you, do not be afraid. I am here to help you. The Holy Spirit is an advocate. He is a helper. Our God is with us at all times. When we're going through shifting sands, when we're feeling the weight of the world on our shoulders, he's like a spotter on a weight bench, just lifting that weight off of us. He is our advocate. He is right there with us. He is so personal to you, Jeff Payne, just as he's personal to me. He is so personal to you, Josh Ira, as he is to me. It is absurd to think about that, but we can talk to God like he's our best friend, and he should be. This summer, I encourage the team to walk and talk with the Lord. Talk to him as you're walking to your team time room. Talk to him when you're dealing with a difficult camper. Talk to him when you are going to the restroom. Talk to him when you're brushing your teeth. Talk to God like you're having a personal conversation with him. Because when you talk that talk, you will begin to walk that walk with the Lord. And he will be personal to you in every step and every season of your life. When you remember these truths, that no matter what, God is always personal. When you go through shifting sands, you remember to plant your feet on the solid rock and square up with whatever you got coming at you.
That's good.
This summer, we got to see incredible things happen at camp. We got to see baptism happen at camp, and it was a really cool experience. But thinking back to a couple of years prior, I was actually baptized at camp, and it was a Gospel Wednesday. I remember the crystal clear. It was a volunteer at that community that decided, hey, I want to get baptized today. What does that have to do? What do I have to do? What does that look like? And the pastors of the church said, hey, we can go out to this huge lake we have, and we can baptize you in front of all the camp staff and volunteers. It would be this great experience for this one person. And I remember walking out to the lake saying, hey, this is really cool. And the Lord just spoke to me in a whisper. He said, hey, when did you get baptized? I was like, when I was 12. And it was just the thing that you did at my church, and it wasn't the thing that, when I think back now, I know that there's value in doing it, but I don't know the value that it gave to me.
Yeah.
I don't know how it changed my life. So I remember walking out to the lake. I remember standing around watching this girl get baptized, and she actually didn't end up being baptized. There was some situation issues with her parents to where she didn't get baptized that day. So we were standing around, waiting around, and one person said, hey, I want to get baptized too. So they got in the water, got baptized. Another person, hey, I want to get baptized too. And another person. And at that moment, like this morning, I started to get emotional, and I just stepped away, and I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to step over here. I'm going to get further and further away from this right here, because I don't know what's going on with myself, and I began to cry. And one of my teammates came up to me and said, Chris, do you need to get in that water? was like, no, I'm good. As I'm crying, I've already been baptized. I'm good. She's like, all right. But I think the Lord's trying to tell you something. And I just didn't want to listen. So I kept distancing myself further and further away. And another person came up to me and said, son, I think you know what you need to do. You need to be obedient and stop listening to yourself. And in that moment, I just like began to cry. And somehow, someway, I got towards the water. I got in the water. And there was nothing spiritual about the water at all. It was lake water in Georgia. There's nothing cool about it besides the clay that's in there. I don't think there's anything special about the water. But it was the posture of the faith that I had to know that, okay, I want this to be a personal walk with Christ. Like Pastor said last week, I don't want to live off of my parents' faith. I don't want to live off of my grandmother's faith. I don't want to live off of anybody's faith but my own. And I want to seek and follow the Lord the way I want to. And for the longest time, I dealt with all these things saying, okay, well, I can't do that because I just have never done it before. And in an effort of being obedient to what I felt like the Lord was calling me to, I got in the water, got baptized, and it was such an incredible feeling that I'll never forget, rejoicing with 21 other people that had just gotten baptized and saying that, hey, God, you are personal to each of us. God, we love you. God, we thank you for the story that you have given us. And the next day, I got to tell my parents, hey, I got baptized again. And let me tell you why, because God is so good. And he is so personal. I think about just growing up, my grandmother, Mimi, always called me her preacher man. Never knew why. Never thought that I would see a day where I would preach a message in front of my grandmother. But she always called me her preacher man. I said, Mimi, I can't preach because I have a speech impediment. I had a speech impediment all throughout elementary school. Couldn't say my S's and R's. I'm supposed to be deaf. There's a lot of reasons why I shouldn't be where I'm at right now. But because my God is so personal, because he cared so much about me, because he cares so much about me, he's brought me through all that because he has a purpose and a reason for it. He has a purpose and a reason, and he is so personal to each of you that he's bringing you through things to get you to a point where you communicate that how good he is. He's bringing you through things personally. Your story is your story for a reason. You may think your story has no meaning, has no value, but he's bringing you through things personally so that one day you can communicate that to somebody that needs to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't know who needs to hear this message today.
There goes some song.
I don't know who needs to hear this message today, but I know that I do because I know that I need to remind myself how personal I got. Felicia, thank you. How personal God is. And wrapping up, the most central truth that I learned this summer in all of my experiences with Windshaped Camps, and I brought it into a truth, no matter what, abide on the rock. No matter what, abide on the rock. When we go through shifting sands, when we go through foundational moments, abide on that rock. You can say, no matter what, sit on the rock. No matter what, stand on the rock. No matter what, do cartwheels on the rock. But no matter what, abide on the rock. When we abide on the rock, remember that. No matter what, God is never changing. When we abide on the rock, remember no matter what, God is always good. When we abide on the rock, remember that. No matter what, God is always love. When we abide on the rock, remember that. No matter what, God is always personal. John 15, verses 5 through 8, it says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings me great glory to my Father. No matter what, abide in the rock. I don't know about you, but I want to produce much fruit in my life. No matter what, I just want to walk in obedience to what the Lord has called me to do. I don't know if the Lord has called me to be a preacher. I want to be a Chick-fil-A operator, so somehow you can intertwine that into one branch. I would love that. Thank you, Lord. But I know that no matter what, God has called me to do things that And Richie and Missy have helped push me towards those. My mom and my dad have pushed me towards that. My grandmother has pushed me towards that. My friends that are here, this church, we have pushed me towards that. So I thank you guys for letting me communicate this truth. I can't even see anymore. My eyes are watering teeth. That no matter what, abide on the rock. When I think about this truth, looking at it in January when we first heard about what the theme was going to be, I didn't realize what the Lord would bring me through to get me to here. We communicated this theme for 5 weeks straight, 5 days a week. And I challenged the team to immerse yourself in this truth so it can be so evident in the way that you communicate it. We want it to be a refreshing word every single week that we communicate it. Didn't even realize, hey, Lord, make this a refreshing truth for my life, not just for this summer. Because this is not a seasonal truth. This is a seasonal message for Winship Camp. But this is not a seasonal truth of God and who He is. This is a forever, never-changing truth of our life. I'll just close with saying that God has brought me through incredible things in these last 3 months. But there are many truths and many things that we just need to remind ourselves about. These stories that we learned in Sunday school, these small little nuggets of wisdom that we find from the Bible, we need to abide in those things because you never know when that thing can get you through what you need to get through.
That's right.
That's Jesus being with you in the storm, is you abiding in His Word. That's you abiding yourself in what He's called you to do. That's you taking steps of faith like preaching a sermon or speaking to somebody you never even pictured yourself talking to. That's you abiding on the rock, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I'll pray, and I miss you, Richard, come back up here. Somebody come back up here.